Good morning, everybody. My name is Anthony, and we are super excited that you are here today. Just to echo what Chris said, please make yourself feel right at home. We are continuing our series called This Crazy Book, and we're asking that question, is it actually possible to understand this crazy book? Because at one point or another, we've sat down and we've said, okay, we're supposed to read this book, and we've sat down and we've started to read it, and we get there and we go, man, that's crazy. And whether it's positive or negative, we've all interacted with it in one way, shape, or form. Maybe we're intimidated by it. We sit down and go, I just don't understand what I'm reading. Maybe we're scared. Maybe we're frustrated. Maybe we just don't know how to interact with this. But this, truth be told, this is one of the greatest gifts we have been given. And we're asking that question, like, can we truly understand what's given? And we started this series, this crazy series, called This Crazy Book, back in 2015. And we have been journeying through the book of Acts. We have been walking through it to be able to show you how to understand context. Like, what does it mean to the people who were living in this moment? We want to talk about what it means about putting ourselves in the story. What was it like to live during this? What does it mean to the people who this book was written to? And what can we glean from it today in 2018? So I want to encourage you, if you haven't been with us since 2015, you can go back on the live stream and the podcast and journey with us as we began the book of Acts. But now in 2018, we are at Acts chapter 6 today. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been wrestling through Acts chapter 5. Last week, Pastor Chris had us encourage us to wrestle through the passages that we and ask those questions that we have. And then a couple of weeks ago, we saw the boldness of the early church and the apostles. Now remember, the book of Acts is about the beginning of this thing called the church. It wasn't a building. It was a body of believers who came together to continue this message of Jesus Christ. So we pick up in the book of Acts. Jesus has already ascended. He's already crucified and resurrected. He's ascended, and he's given this mission to his apostles to go and to make disciples. And it's a very exciting time to be alive, and it's a very exciting time for the church. You know, multitudes are coming. Acts 5:14 said multitudes are coming to know who Jesus Christ is. And in one day, 3,000 people came to believe who Jesus Christ is. So there's a lot of really wonderful things that are happening. But it's also a dangerous time. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, we learned that there were people who weren't very fond of this Jesus guy. And there were people who were really trying to squelch this message of Jesus Christ, that your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone could save you. And there were these religious leaders that were like, wait a minute, we don't like where this is going. And so people were being killed, people were being persecuted for their beliefs. Like I said, it's a dangerous time. It's also a very critical time for the beginning of this thing called the church. So we're picking up in Acts chapter 6 today, and we are continuing to learn a little bit more about the apostles. So if you were with us last time, you remember that the church, that the apostles were arrested, they were tried in front of the same group of religious believers that were called the Sanhedrin. These were the ones who tried and persecuted Jesus, but they decided just to flog these apostles and to let them go as long as they didn't preach in the temple courts. And so we pick them up in Acts chapter 6, preaching in the temple courts, because they knew that they needed to be able to spread this message. But like I said, all these people are coming to know who Jesus Christ is, and as things start to grow, and as things start to happen, conflict arises. Something happens. And this is an early organization, right? There was no boards or trustees or elders at this moment. These were a group of believers who were learning about this thing that they were creating called the church. There's no 501c3. There was no Grace Kids. There was no bagels and coffee. What? What did they do? There was a bunch of believers who were becoming followers of Jesus, and now Jesus was gone. And they started to listen to these apostles, these people who had been with Jesus, to the ones to lead, and conflict starts. So that's where we're picking it up today in 6:1. Acts 6:1 says, "But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So interestingly enough, this is amongst believers. These are grumblings amongst people who have already put their faith in Jesus Christ. And what's happening here, a little history lesson, is you have these Hebrew-speaking believers. These are the ones who are in Jerusalem. That's where we are right now. They're the ones that are close to the temple, and they speak Hebrew primarily. And then you've got the Greek-speaking believers who are from the surrounding areas, primarily because they grow up in a Greek culture, and that's why they speak Greek, and they're more identified with Greek than they are with Hebrew. But this particular time of year is a very special time of year for them. It is the Passover celebration, so believers from all over are coming to be close to the temple to be able to celebrate this Passover, this celebration of God rescuing the Israelites out of Egypt. So they're all coming together, and they're all trying to make room for one another, and they're all trying to worship, and the people that are here, the people that live here in this town are like being crowded, and now, wait a minute, our widows aren't being taken care of. You're taking care of all these other people, and you're not taking care of the people who live here. You're not taking care of these widows. And in this culture, if you were a widow, you were being taken care of by the other people in the family, the other people in the church, the other people that were part of this. So if I was a widow and I wasn't able to go and get my ration of food, that somebody from the family would come and bring it to me and take care of me. But what's happening here is the equivalent of, well, that's my seat. Or that's my parking spot. Right? So we see this grumbling, and they're learning to live together. And the apostles, like I said, we're starting by putting ourselves in the story. Okay? The apostles, they come to Peter, you know, Peter and all the apostles, Peter's like, I'm a fisherman, I don't know what to do about this widow situation. And they're all trying to figure out what to do. Now they realize that this widow situation is important. It's of the utmost importance, actually, because it's all about, you know, the believers working together and living together and showing this family. Because one of the reasons that made this early church attractive, one of the reasons why people were attracted to the apostles and to the believers, is that they were taking care of each other and they were taking care of the people around them. So they knew that this was an important thing to address. But they also knew they couldn't do everything themselves. The apostles knew that they had been given a mission. They had walked with Jesus Christ. They had been with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, listen, you have to go and tell people about me. And so they're faced with this problem. So this is what they do. In verse 2, so the 12, they're talking about the apostles. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. So all the believers are together, and they said, we apostles should spend time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Now, before you go like, oh, who do the apostles think they are? The importance about this message is that they understood that, listen, they weren't belittling this at all. They knew this was of utmost importance, but they said, listen, we were with Jesus. We've been walking with Jesus. We have to tell people about Jesus. And who knows how long I'm going to be around? Because like I said, these religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, who sentenced Jesus to death, could at any point change their mind and sentence Peter and John to death as well. So essentially they're saying, listen, we have to tell people about Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, because of who we are. But we understand that this is also important. This matters as well. So here's what they decide to do. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, and so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we as apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. So they didn't gather all the believers and go, okay, who is going to do this? We have any volunteers? No. They were very intentional about what they were doing. Like I said, they were well-respected, they were full of the Spirit, they had wisdom. They said this because, listen, if we stop doing what we are doing, if we stop doing what we have been told to do to fulfill this mission, then we're going to hurt the mission. But we understand the importance of this, and not paying attention to it will also hurt the mission. So they said, we need to be able to stay on mission. We got to be able to tell others about Jesus Christ, but we got to take care of one another too. And so in response, verse 5 says, everyone liked this idea. That's a great idea. And they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. And the next verse says the widows are fed. Actually, that's not what it says, because it makes sense to believe that. Okay, we've got these seven to take care of our people. We've got these seven who were, you know, who realized that they needed to step up in order to continue this mission. But here's what happened when they responded. When the believers responded, not only were the widows taken care of, but here's what it says in verse 7. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that the same people who sentenced Jesus to death, the very same people who yesterday flogged us for spreading this message of Jesus Christ, are now becoming believers? See, one of the things that happens when we sit down to read the scriptures is that, you know, we go, okay, I got to get through a chapter a day. And we sit down and we read through chapter 6, and we go through verse 7 not realizing the impact of what that is. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Because they understood the importance of their mission, and because they understood the importance of staying on mission and continuing their mission of loving and taking care of one another, the message of Jesus Christ was able to reach even more people. And it was even able to reach the very people who were trying to squelch it. That's crazy. That is crazy. Because we were sitting, okay, we can't do this all on our own. That's what the apostles are saying. We can't do this all on our own. We need our fellow believers to be able to be on this mission with us. We need our fellow people to be on this mission with us in order to be able to accomplish this mission. Not only were they able to continue the mission that God had given them, the people who were trying, the very people who were trying to squelch them, to oppress them, to turn them away, were becoming to know who Jesus Christ is. So how do we change that in the context of today? How do we take this incredible story to learn about what it is today? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful to teach us. So here at Hoboken Grace, in 2018, God has allowed us to partner with him for the last 10 years of our mission of helping people find their way back to God. It's the mission that he gave the apostles, and it's the mission that we have repeated every single week since we began. We said it today, that we are on this mission of helping people find their way back to God. In fact, we got this mission from the book of Acts. It's actually taken from Acts 17:27. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. That's the mission. And that's found in Acts 17. And at the rate we're going, we'll get there by our 20th anniversary. But the mission of Jesus Christ that he gave to his people was to go and make disciples. And listen, much like the early church, We've been growing ever since. We've been growing, and it's not just because of the message on Sunday, it's because of the people that understood this passage. That there are literally hundreds of people. Some of you are here right now listening to this. There are literally hundreds of people who realize the importance of this mission of helping people find their way back to God and realizing that there are no roles that exist within the body, within this body of believers that isn't important, that there are no non-critical parts in order to make this mission go. And, you know, listen, it's not just about setting up chairs. It's not just about brewing coffee. It's not just about taking care of children. It's all connected to the mission. We've been trying very, very hard to not add something that doesn't go back to our mission. Everything on Sundays, everything during the week, everything we do needs to go back to that mission of helping people find their way back to God. That's why the setup team knows that when they set up 500 chairs in the morning, it's not just so that we could do our best to make this not look like a gymnasium. It's because they know that they want to create a comfortable environment so that you can feel comfortable inviting your friends, inviting your family, so they can hear the message of Jesus Christ. The Grace Kids team aren't just babysitters. They're creating a space so that your children can understand who Jesus Christ is and what he wants to do in their life so that mom and dad can come here undistractingly and listen to what Jesus Christ wants to do in their life. That's what it means to be on mission together. And there are some people here today that understand that, listen, we all need to do this in order to make this work well. That's why we don't have volunteers. We have team members. We have, because when you're on a team, you are all working towards the same mission. When you're a sports team, you're all working towards the same mission. Another analogy that's frequently used in Scripture to term that is the body. That we're the body, right? That's the term of the church, or the people are the body of believers, because the body needs to work together in order to make it happen. I studied Shakespeare, so I don't know where anything goes, but but I know that all has to work together in there in order to make it work. All right. And we get that from Ephesians 4, which says, Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. So just to clarify, the head of the body, that's who we're talking about, the church. And the church isn't a building, it's the group of believers. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps to make the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Don't miss that. That if we're all doing our part, if we're all on mission together, each part of the body is working together so that we all grow and that we all are full of love. And sometimes that means responding just like these seven did and jumping into something that, listen, you may not know everything there is to know. These seven certainly didn't know everything there was to know about running a food program, but they stepped up because they knew that this was an important part of the mission. When I first became a believer, I was in graduate school, and I was in Alabama, and the first Sunday I showed up to this church, I mean, we're talking brand new, walking into this relationship with Jesus Christ, and I showed up on Sunday, and my pastor there was talking about serving. In fact, he referenced this particular passage of Scripture. And I remember understanding it, and I remember going, okay. And he said, listen, there's a little info booth out in our lobby, and there's a lady named Zelda there who'll take very good care of you, and she'll get you plugged in. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm ready. Let's do this, all right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to go out into the lobby, and I'm gonna join the setup team, or I'm going to join the teardown team, or I'm going to join the pick-up-something-heavy team. Like, that's where I'm going to go, right? And so I go out there to visit Zelda, who at that time had to have been 175. And I said, put me where you need me. I was feeling ready to go. And she's like, oh, well, we need help with the kids. And I said, well, don't you need help setting up or tearing down or picking something up? And just at that right time, the kids director walks by and goes, you're thinking of helping out with the kids? And I was like, picking them up and putting them down, maybe. And just at that time, the pastor comes by and he's like, you're thinking of helping out with the kids? And I'm like, this is getting out of hand. And they're like, and then this other person comes up, there's like, yeah, he's studying Shakespeare. And I said, who are you? And they said, perfect, we just lost the Bible teacher. I said, what do you mean you just lost the Bible teacher? What happened to the Bible teacher? And he said, no, this is perfect. You know, it's we need somebody to act out the Bible stories. And I said, no. And he said, no, it's perfect. Here's what happens. On Sunday nights, we will email you the Bible story, and then you have the whole week to prepare, and then you just teach it to the kids on Sunday. And I was like, why? What? No. And they said, you'll be perfect. Here, we'll send you this one today, and this is the one we will be doing. And I was like, what did it happen? And so I did. And for 2 years, I did that every Sunday. I got the Bible story. I figured out how I was going to teach it to a bunch of kids every Sunday for 2 years. And wouldn't you know that that's how God taught me this crazy book? He taught me everything I needed to know and more and revealed it to me. So now look at me, teaching a bunch of big kids. And I just... to put this out there, we do background checks here. So we're not just going to be like, me looks like he should be with kids. We understand the importance of safety. So just so you're not freaking out right now, going upstairs and being like, I'll take my child back. Thank you very much. But this is what they understood. They understood that, listen, I may not be put in where I think I should be. I may not be put in where I think I need to lead or where I think I need to serve, but I understand that we're a part of this mission. I understand that I need to be a part of this mission in order to help the people find their way back to God. And listen, some people believe that, you know, the pastors and the staff, they're superheroes and they can do this mission on their own. They're not. The real reason that we are here today is because the people that have already responded to this message and said, yeah, I agree that being on this mission matters. And let me tell you something. I've been very humbled to be able to serve with a large number of people here, and they are some of the finest team members you'll ever meet. And it allows the people to be able to do that. And here's the other thing I learned by just showing up wherever I was supposed to go that Sunday was that God is going to put you eventually where he wants you. But the only way you're going to find out where that is and what that is when you show up and when you heed the call. You know, the crazy thing about this mission is that we've been given this opportunity to partner with him. To say, I'm going to fulfill this mission. And our response is, place me wherever, and I will lead and I will serve there, and I will pray that while I'm there, you're going to use my gifts and you're going to use my talents so I can lead and serve there. And listen, you might be here today and you're not sure how you feel about this whole God thing. You're not sure how you feel about this whole Jesus thing, and you're like, great, he's not talking to me. No, I'm talking to you. Because here's the thing. This message, the message of Jesus Christ, has the ability to change lives. And I know nobody here that doesn't want to change lives. And the truth of the matter is what we read in that verse of Ephesians. that when we all jump in and we all understand the importance of this mission, that people will grow and they will learn to love. And I don't know about you, but this day and age, we need to be able to say, yeah, you know what? That body of believers, the people that are part of that church, they love well. They love the people here because we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to carry out God's mission. And so if you aren't into this relationship with Jesus Christ, yes, I want to encourage you to jump in on it as well. Because listen, lives do change. This is not just a mission. This may be the most important mission known to man. Because listen, these early believers, they weren't called Christians. They were actually called followers of the way. And they said this because in response of what Jesus said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, for no one comes to the Father except for me. And we believe that, and the early church believed that. And so they believe that the most important thing that anybody can do is walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ, lives are changed. Marriages become stronger. We become better parents. We become better employees. We become better friends. We become better brothers and sisters because that's what we are called to do. And when we are all working in the body and we're all doing what we're supposed to do, when we're all on mission together and it allows us to be able to find out where we are to serve and where we are to go, the incredible thing about it is that God allows us to partner with him to help more people, more and more people to be able to come to know who Jesus Christ is. So we've made this real easy for you to be a part of this mission. If you are on this mission with us already, you understand this importance. You understand how important it is that this mission is. And if you're not and you're ready to do it, you can text. There it is. You can text. I was trying to be like, boom, but it didn't happen. You can text engage to that number. Text engage to 201-646-5547 to learn how you can join a team. And at least, exactly, do it. Because here's the thing. Not only will we be able to change more lives and reach more people, but I guarantee you, you are going to serve with some of the greatest team members you're ever going to meet. That's right. And you are going to be on the most important mission you could ever be on when you do it. So I want to encourage you today. If you're not already engaged, that's why it's called engage, we're clever. If you're not already engaged, do it. If you're still not through pulling at your phone in church, that's fine. You got a connection card right there. Just write engage on it. Drop it in the orange box. Or stop by the connection point right now, and they can walk you through. Because here's the truth. Just imagine if everybody here today and everybody watching on live stream and everybody listening on the podcast said yes. Imagine what it's going to look like at our 20th anniversary. And how many more people God allowed us to be able to be on this mission with him to help people find their way back to him. And lives will change, people will grow, and they will grow in love. Will you pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you for the truth that is in this message. That we can really glean from what the early church discovered. That there are so many things that need to be done in order to be able to point people back to you. And that there are no insignificant roles, and that there are that everything works together for your good, and that we can bring everything to you. And so, Father, my prayer for those who are here today that may not understand who you are, that may not know who you are yet, that they will know that they can change the world too. That all they have to do is respond and say yes. And they can, in two, live a life that is significant. And for those of us today that have walked in this relationship with you, that trust you as our Lord and Savior, that we know that this is the most important mission given to man, that if we're sitting on the sidelines right now, that you will just move us, nudge us to show up. And use us wherever you want us. And last but not least, for those people that are on that are on teams right now that are already engaged as part of this mission. My prayer is that you will let them know that they matter to this mission and that they are helping to change lives and to help people find their way back to you. And it's all because of Jesus that we're even able to do this. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.